Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And if it is the first Monday of the month from 2 to 3, as well as the first Tuesday from 2 to 3, it is Breaking Murphy's Law, starring Mike Hoffman from Service Master by Disaster Professionals. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Dave. How about yourself?
I am doing great. We had a good weekend. How about you?
I had a wonderful weekend.
Did you have a wonderful life? That movie's been on every day since the beginning of time. Have you seen
it? Oh, it's one of my favorite movies.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of a tradition to watch it every year.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
I haven't watched it yet this year yet. But
Jimmy Stewart, can you imitate Jimmy Stewart?
No, I won't even try.
Really?
I'm trying. Well, what part would I could imitate him falling into the swimming pool. I remember that part.
We don't have a pool here. We could get a pool table. However, that is a good movie, isn't it?
It's a great movie, yeah. But, hey, I saw Donnie and Marie Friday night. That was great.
Wasn't that? I went there Tuesday for media night. That was fantastic. Those two are super talent.
They sure are. I mean, Donnie won Dancing with the Stars. That's just amazing. I didn't realize that, but he mentioned it a few times.
He did.
And he mentioned that Marie lost.
She did.
Yeah, but it's like they're a brother and sister or something.
I know. Can you believe it?
Sibling rivalry.
They sort of even look alike. I don't understand how that works.
Yeah, well, but no, it was great. It was a great show, and they are talented, but yeah.
And
but,
it's over. Their last performance, I believe, was yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I think it was.
But we can always see them in Las Vegas, right?
Yeah, at the Flamingo. I saw them 2 years ago in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Boy, that Marie, she has amazing range, her voice from opera to jazz to country.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know what she says?
What?
I'm a little bit country and...
I'm a little bit something else.
Rock and roll.
Oh, rock and roll, yeah. Okay.
He wasn't paying attention to that part of the show.
Okay.
But that was a great show, wasn't it?
It was.
And we have some great guests today. Before we introduce... Our guests, we have two of them.
Yes.
Maybe actually one with a regular. We're going to introduce Ann Husky, your colleague.
Right,
Ann,
yes.
Or can I call you Annie?
Ann.
Annie. Oh, you're Mike. You're going to say that again.
Ann.
There we are. Mm-hmm. So not Annie. Have you ever got in trouble for that, saying Ann versus Annie?
No. It's Ann.
You like Ann.
It's Ann.
And what?
Just
Ann. Oh, that's a conjunction or whatever.
In the South, there's no such thing as one syllable. It's Ann.
That's exactly
three,
right.
Make three syllables out of it. It'll be even better.
Well, we have a great show today, but before we introduce our guest, this is an incredible guest because it's a PR marketing type firm. But let's do your monologue. People love hearing your monologue.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Jack Benny and Johnny Carson, the greats, did monologues.
Really? Okay. Well, this isn't quite like their monologue.
But it's still a great monologue, inspirational, motivational.
Oh, well, thank you, David.
Oh, you're more than
welcome. Or Dave, I'm sorry.
I was going to say.
I can't stick with one syllable.
You're more than welcome, Michael.
Okay, so. All right. Okay.
And that's with a D. And here's Michael.
Thank you, Dave. So what is Murphy's Law? What can go wrong will go wrong. The point of our show, Breaking Murphy's Law, is to help you to minimize the impact of Murphy's Law in your lives and businesses. We want to defeat Murphy's Law. We want to overcome Murphy's Law. We want to help you break Murphy's Law before Murphy's Law breaks you. We want to give people advice, inspiration, and tools that will help them in life and business. Really, we want to help you and give you ideas that will help you to achieve your own personal potential. In the words of Coach John Wooden, success is peace of mind, which is a direct result of self-satisfaction and knowing you made the effort to become the best that you are capable of becoming. Note, he never stressed winning, not with any of his championship teams, and there were many. He never stressed winning. He stressed doing your best. Well, the purpose of this show is to help you to do your best, and especially don't let Murphy's Law stand in the way of giving your best. Today, we have John Hernandez, CEO of Perfect Media, on our show. John has a very interesting background. I can't wait to formally introduce him to you, but first, like always, I will start the show with a few comments in order to introduce our theme for today. I already shared one of John Wooden's quotes. He had another. Do your best when your best is required. Your best is required every day. As we are approaching the end of the year and it is time to start thinking of New Year's resolutions, I believe it is appropriate to talk about this. We live in a world of change. Change is a fact of life. It is, in fact, inescapable. Therefore, I suggest that you take control of your own life, but also, not only your own life, but also the changes in your life. In other words, take charge of your own transformations to help you to defeat Murphy's Law. Like it or not, change is coming. You are, well, I'm having trouble reading my iPad. Sorry.
No, but it's a good iPad.
Yeah, I know.
Did you hear that? Is it spelled E-Y-E or I?
Well, I think it's E-Y-E today, but anyway, if I was spelled I could read it better. No, so like it or not, change is coming. How are you sending out your Christmas cards this year? Are you more likely to email someone than send them a letter? Were you using Facebook or LinkedIn 10 years ago? Think about how long you have really had that smartphone. Remember when the iPod first came out? That was followed by iTunes, the iPhone, the iPad, iCloud, and who knows what is next. It is hard to conceive of life without any one of these without the other. These changes are not only happening with technology and social media, but in every aspect of life, work, and business. The changes will only accelerate. One curious thing about us people is that we tend to overestimate what we can accomplish in the short term, but we underestimate what we can do in the long term. Let me repeat that. We tend to overestimate what we can do in the short term, but we underestimate what we can do in the long term. Example, and again, think about your New Year's resolution. We tend to set unrealistic fitness or weight loss goals for the next month or quarter, and then we get disappointed, frustrated, and disillusioned when we don't meet those unrealistic expectations. But then again, if you were told that any of you out there could be a fitness model and compete in a fitness or bodybuilding competition 2 years from now, would you believe me? Well, it is true. Think about the transformations you want in your personal life or your business or your work life when you work on your New Year's resolution. In practice, it has been shown that in order to accomplish your own long-term goals, it is best to work with the shorter term based on 90-day goals, but with the longer term in mind. This applies equally to personal fitness, business, or other life goals. 90 days provides a happy medium. Set the goals and have a way to measure your progress and review the results at least weekly. We have talked about using a social support circle to achieve success and thereby defeat Murphy's Law. We talked about the idea that it is important to surround yourself with positive, energetic people. A social community allows you to do two things, both to succeed with the help of others, then to become a source of hope for others by sharing your success and even becoming a coach, mentor, or teacher yourself. This creates a social circle of support. In the words of Jim Rohn, the success philosopher and mentor of Tony Robbins, don't join an easy crowd. Join a successful crowd where the expectations are high and the payoff is great. Did he say anything about joining a fun crowd? I think joining a fun crowd is good, too. But anyway, achieving your goals and success in your life means you have to do it by yourself, but you can't do it alone. What a paradox. You must protect your environment and surround yourself with positivity. Associating with negative people and places can be a direct cause of failure. Associating with positive people and places can be a direct cause of success. Get around people who are charged with positive energy. Emotions and attitudes are contagious. Enthusiasm is contagious. Success is contagious. Unfortunately, so is negativity and failure. Surrounding yourself with the right people helps you to generate thoughts and behaviors you need to lead to success. Keep this in mind as you formulate your New Year's resolution. Who are the right people to have in your social support group? Make them a mastermind group that will help you to set the right 90-day goals, to stay on track to accomplishment, and to provide the support you need to defeat Murphy's Law. So now, on with our show.
I like it. That is good stuff, and it's good advice, and I do believe people should really notice that, and not just notice it, but take action. Isn't action a key word?
Right. That is really true. And, you know, people have trouble taking action when they're talking about something a year or two from now, but 90 days, that gives you enough time to do something significant, but it's also short-term enough to make sure that you stick with it.
I love that. That is so cool. And then talking about action, a man of action is in the studio today. Why don't you introduce your guest?
Yes. Today we have the CEO of Perfect Media, John Hernandez.
Wow.
John has a great diverse background and has lived in very many places. But, John, tell us about yourself.
Well, thanks, Mike. I can't imagine a better introduction than that. That is tremendous. I grew up in the Midwest in St. Louis and went to school at the U of A, and I'm sure a lot of people are booing that, but I did marry a Sun Devil, so I hope that helps.
You did? How does that work?
It's a house divided.
No, it's fun to have people from U of A around to kind of make fun of or whatever.
How unhappy were you about 2 weeks ago?
Oh, not that much. It's not that much of a big deal for us. We enjoy it. We have fun with it. My brother-in-law also went to ASU, so we always, you know, do some jabs back and forth. But we have basketball season, so we're happy with that.
And they are good.
They're good this year. Let's hope they can make it last the whole time. But I was in television for 15 years as a producer. Started my career as an anchor reporter type person and ended up as a producer, investigative producer, and sports producer for a long time as well. And while I was working here at Channel 5, I worked with Ron Merritt, who was the meteorologist at Channel 5. Hmm. He had a little side business in PR world and asked me if I wanted to join in, so I bought a majority interest of it. Walked into the TV station one day, quit, packed up my stuff, and left.
Wow.
And I've been doing PR and marketing ever since.
And how long ago was that, did you say?
10.5 years ago.
10?
10.5, yeah.
Wow, 10.5, outside of the radio TV game.
Yeah. Hmm.
But it was impressive. I saw you were working for ESPN.
Mm-hmm. That was my job prior to going to Channel 5. I was there for about 13 months, and the reason I left is I hate cold weather.
Yes.
And I missed the Southwest, and I wanted to come back to Arizona and stay where it's warm.
That is exciting, though. You may or may not know, but we have some sports programming Wednesday and Friday, and I could tell you have a great radio voice, a great sports
and
voice.
And a face for radio as well.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah, me too, boy.
But not Ann.
No, Ann certainly doesn't.
Yeah, not at all.
If only we could keep her quiet. You know, yes. She just won't shut up, boy.
So this is so exciting to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, I mean, going out on your own, leaving the safe, secure world of working for Channel 5, that must have been a big step.
It was a gamble. It definitely was. You know, I always thought that if it didn't work out, that I could go back into broadcasting in some form or fashion. But we really worked hard, and we got enough money in our SBA loan in order to sustain ourselves without new business for a while. And as we developed our company, we developed strategies and niches and so forth, and we are where we are today with 10 employees and a bunch of clients, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm. And helping a lot of people.
Helping a lot of people, yeah, in various ways.
Now, why don't you describe what you do, how you do it, and if you have any niches for people, the listeners, to contemplate.
Well, we have a unique approach in our programs. We're not a typical public relations marketing firm because we do everything in-house, so we don't outsource anything. Mm. Graphic design, web design, video production. We have a full HD video production studio. We've got a tremendous amount of talented people that do very well in public relations and marketing and advertising. We can produce our own spots. We've got a full-time media buyer. So our clients range from we've got banks. We've got HOA managers. We've got we're on a contract with the state of Arizona, so we do a lot of government work. Our niche, if there is one, is probably long-term care facilities, nursing homes, skilled nursing facilities, assisted living, independent living, those types of places. Ron and I are we speak nationally and work with companies nationally with a continuing education program that where they can get CE credits for 4 hours of CE credits, and we talk about crisis communications. Kind of what Mike does on the backside after a disaster, he comes in and cleans it up. We try to prevent those disasters from happening in the first place, but if they do happen, we also help them keep the media out of it, where they can protect their reputation. It's more reputation management, crisis communications, where Mike's company comes in and you know cleans up the mess after the waters after the water lines break.
Yeah, that's right. Mike, you have something in common with this young man.
Right, yeah. Well, there's a lot of people out there that are helping with disasters of different types, whether it's doctors help people with their own personal health, collision shops help people with their cars, and we help people with their homes.
Which is very important. Why don't we take a quick break? We're going to describe how that works for people, and as well as get into some more detail from John Hernandez, Perfect Media, and how, just we're going to contemplate this question for the listeners when we come back, is marketing versus sales. I think there's really major confusion about that, especially with mid-sized to small businesses, and we'll be right back.
We're getting Ann to talk about that.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is Breaking Murphy's Law every first Monday and Tuesday from 2 to 3, starring Michael Hoffman, or a.k.a. Mike Hoffman, from, of course, owner, I should say, Service Master by Disaster Professionals, Mike.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for not calling me Michael. That sounds like either someone from my family or my wife when she's mad at me.
So oh, no.
Mike's safe.
That can, you know, that can trigger people. You know, when people used to call me, like, David, you know, it's like, ooh. You know, like a teacher. I knew that was a problem.
Right.
Or if they say, hey, Dave, come on over, versus David.
You know, it's like, again, John Wooden, he would never swear, but everyone knew when he said, goodness gracious sakes alive, that was worse than anything else.
Yeah.
That, they knew they were in trouble. Just goodness gracious sakes alive.
Yeah, like, there are certain words that trigger. And we have also your colleague, Ann Husky, in studio. Ann, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I don't know. You look refreshed, relaxed. Must have had a great weekend.
I sure did.
Okay. We'll hear about that later
yes,
on our late night edition of Breakthrough Thinking. Now, of course, in studio, John Hernandez of Perfect Media. And we wanted the listeners to contemplate a question I think is completely misunderstood, or the concepts, at least, marketing versus sales. Why don't we have a little discussion right now, and then we'll get into the long-term care thing. I think that's really interesting,
sure.
and that's where both of you sort of relate with crisis management. Just try getting married, and you'll know what crisis management means. Okay, now marketing versus sales. So, John, you want to take a stab at that? What's the difference?
Yeah, and you know, we talk about it quite a bit when we get approached. You know, there are two different levels that it happens for us. When we have a job opening, and I talk about, we've got a public relations account executive opening. When you say the words account executive, it instantly triggers people who have sales backgrounds. I get 100 resumes with salespeople, not really what I'm looking for. We don't do sales. We don't hire salespeople. But we work with sales teams. We'll work with other companies. We'll create their programs. We'll develop the brand. We call it brand engineering.
Yeah.
So developing the logo, developing the looks, those are basics part of it. But really developing the reputation and helping them with the reputation. Social media is part of that. Regular media, traditional media is part of that. There's a whole bunch of aspects, excuse me, that are involved. The sales portion of it is actually going and getting, depending what type of business it is, are you selling a product? Are you trying to gain more clients and those types of things? So we develop, you know, for example, you mentioned long-term care facilities. We work with long-term care facilities on their sales programs. When somebody walks in the door, what happens? What are they looking at? A video? Are they greeted immediately as they walk through the door? That's all part of the sales program. Sales is also the relationship that you build with the people. What's the best type of advertising? Word of mouth. Now it's, you know, word of mouth can also be tied into social media. So people are spreading the word quicker, faster, and not necessarily more accurate. They're just they're expressing how they're treated. Whenever we do any kind of sales programs, we'll send secret shoppers in, and we'll make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, and selling their service or product the way they should be selling it.
So would you call that? That sounds like quality control.
It is, absolutely.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are missing that from their businesses. Do you find that?
Yeah, absolutely. And you can do it with pretty much anything. The bottom line, the point of it is how do you treat those people? Like we always tell our employees. If you go to a mixer, and you go to a mixer nowadays, and it's a lot of real estate agents, financial people, those types, you might talk to any of those people. But when you're talking to that one person, you're not just talking to them. You're talking to everybody that they're going to talk about you to. So they're going to spread the word, oh, I met so-and-so at this mixer, and they weren't very nice to me, and they kind of ignored me, and they weren't paying attention, and they were always looking around for somebody more interesting to speak to. If you give that person 5 minutes of your time, you're going to find out more about them. And share, listen as much as you talk and share, and they're going to spread the word. Oh, that person from Perfect Media was a really nice person. Maybe that's a company that, oh, I got a friend who has a business that needs some marketing. I can call them and tell them to call Perfect Media. That's our philosophy when it comes to those types of things.
It's a good philosophy, too. A lot of people think networking is trying to sell someone right there. I think that's a big mistake. I think you got to go in with the mindset you're to develop, you know, develop a relationship, and first and foremost, how you can help that person versus what that person can do for you.
And I agree. It's that it sounds like we're off on a tangent when we're talking about that sort of thing, but that's marketing. Mm-hmm. What you're talking about is when you go to a networking thing and somebody wants to sell you insurance on the spot. They're they're being a salesperson. They forgot the marketing, the relationship building aspect of it.
Right.
The importance of creating a creating a relationship that will not only get that person's business potentially, but also other people that they know.
There's no question about that, and I think what happens from a mindset standpoint is that people, they could be in the desperation mode. They need that next sale. They're short-term thinkers. I think marketing is strategic in nature and long-term thinking. Mm-hmm. And if you're panic, if you're driven by fear, you think, oh, shoot, I have a payment to make, a rent payment, I'm short right now, that's when people start letting fear and desperation guide their behavior in which to sell. And I think that's a huge mistake. Mm-hmm. I don't think people what if you're driven by inspiration? What if you're driven by helping others become their best? Your behavior and your approach will be 100% different.
Absolutely. And I think one of the other philosophies that we follow at Perfect Media is we look at our financials on a 12 to 18 month basis. And we only count the contracts that we have currently. Well, one of the things that we do, we don't put sales goals on ourselves. We have to sell our company. Mm-hmm. But what we do, the way that we sell it is through relationship building, marketing ourselves by talking about what we do and how we do it. We're not out chasing dollars. We're mm-hmm. chasing relationships. And I think that's a great way of doing business.
So what do you measure when you're doing that? I mean, you're not measuring sales, right? But you're measuring something else?
Well, we have to measure the dollars, of course, because in business we have to measure everything out. We have our ratios and our spreadsheets and so forth. But we're measuring our potential. Mm-hmm. So we know we can go a certain amount of time without getting any new business. Mm-hmm. But that's highly unlikely that we're going to go a long term without getting new business. It hasn't happened in over 10 years. Right. So we look at trends. I also take trends 2 to 3 years backwards and mm-hmm. then also create a pro forma that could look 2 to 3 years ahead. And again, they're not sales goals, but they're potential. So I have to look, do I need to hire another person in the next 6 months? Potentially that's the case. But I have mm-hmm. to have that preparedness to be able to do that.
Now, how do you explain to someone that needs, it seems like most people want more sales. And that's not always the best approach, by the way, to affect the bottom line. I mean, having a proper cost structure, doing some Lean or Six Sigma total quality management within the systems, within the structure of the organization. Of course, if you save a dollar, that goes to the bottom line versus a sale. Only a percentage goes to the bottom line. Not to say you shouldn't have sales. Obviously, you should. But how do you convince someone that is so short?
Wait, and we need sales.
Okay, yes. Go ahead. All right. And sales is good. But how do you convince someone that where marketing's a little bit more intangible? You know, you're not directly saying if you do this, it's going to equate to X amount of sales. I think it's a little more faith-based, perhaps. However, how do you convince someone where people say, hey, I want this and I want it now, versus, hey, if you build this structure, it will lead to greater possibilities.
And that's exactly why we don't take every single potential client that we think we can work with. We'll do some due diligence on their company and find out exactly what their goals are and so forth, make sure they're real, make sure those goals are realistic. And as Mike was saying, when you look into the future, this is what we do with our clients. We sign a one-year contract with them, but we break it into quarters. And we do a 30, 60, 90-day plan of action. And then we give them a week-by-week schedule of this is what we're going to accomplish on a week-by-week basis. With the long-term one-year or two-year relationship, that's the end result. We want to create more sales, more business for that company, but how are we going to do it? That's where the evaluation part and the due diligence comes in.
So what I hearing you say, you actually create more exposure, which will then lead to more sales.
And exposure is not billboards, advertising, shotgun marketing. When you talk about shotgun marketing, it's spreading everything out all at once everywhere. Well, you're only going to hit about 5% of your market if you do that. If you target your market, depending on the type of company you have, where are your people that are buying your product or service? Where are they? Specific, it could be a zip code. It could be a certain demographic, those types of things. You have to measure all that out very specifically.
Mike, that makes sense. I mean, you and I have talked about targeting your audience.
Right.
And How does that make sense for you?
Well, you know, one thing I was thinking about, well, it does, is that, you know, especially with the social media out there in the past, my understanding is we always, what happened is companies would advertise, and it was all one way. They'd have a commercial. They'd have a billboard, and it was like, consumer, hear me, hear me. Well, now with the social media, you got Yelp. You've got all these reviews that are going on. People can talk back, not just to the company, but to all their friends. And so we need to be cognizant of that. But also, maybe that creates some opportunities. Does that create opportunities to do more of a targeted approach instead of a blasting it out?
Absolutely. I know everybody says there's no such thing as bad publicity. Mm-hmm. To a certain extent, that's true. Mm-hmm. But I think you're right. You know, Yelp, those types of things, especially for service industries, you know, if it's a restaurant or something like that, they sell product. Those reviews are definitely worthy, even if they're negative reviews. Mm-hmm. You take a negative review, and how do you spin that into a positive? It takes some time. It does mm-hmm. take some time, but the end result can make your company look a lot better in the eyes of the person that's reading those reviews or trying out your product for the first time.
Hmm. You know, what I'm interested in also is the long-term care part of your business. I think that's really interesting, especially with the baby boomers moving into this. It's going to be huge. I mean, I don't know if there's enough facilities to take care of everyone. Perhaps not, but we'll see. But talk a little bit about crisis management, a little bit more detail about what you do for skilled nursing facilities, rehabs, and some other types of facilities that help people in need.
And we get calls over the country from people. And we usually, when those calls come in, that's usually after the fact. It's kind of like when Mike gets called to clean up a disaster in a house or a business. We get called for the same kinds of things where
it's a damage control situation.
It's a damage control situation. Mm-hmm. And some of them are very bad. Some of them are very routine for us because we've dealt with them so many mm-hmm. times. Things like every long-term care facility or nursing home type place has either state or some kind of regulation organization that goes in and does inspections. Those inspection reports are public record. So if they've had a negative report, the media will come in and scan all these reports to look for the negative ones, and then they'll go and attack that specific facility. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of different tactics we used to do when I was a producer, finding out the reports, finding out what's going on, and we'll investigate them 2, 3, 4 months sometimes. Mm-hmm. And when we get called and they said, well, the media just called us and they're asking about this, that, or this negative report or the certain circumstance that happened, our first response is, if you just got called by the media, they've already been there. Mm-hmm. And you don't even know it.
Wow.
People like me who weren't on the air would go in with a button camera or microphone, and I'd ask all kinds of questions. They didn't recognize me because I wasn't on the air. And I could just be a regular customer and go in and just see what I could find out. And then I'd ask them, oh, I saw that you had some bad reviews, or are you getting any kind of negative publicity right now? Or, you know, aren't you worried that the media is going to come in and find out what their weaknesses are and where can we attack them from the press side?
And that could bring a company down, can it?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's horrible.
And it, you know, it takes years and years to develop a great relationship and about 2 seconds to destroy it.
Yeah.
So how do you do damage control? Is it just preventive medicine?
It's a lot of it. We teach our clients to be prepared, create a plan, educate people. You know, the first line of defense is usually that receptionist or the person at the front greeting the person. We had one client several years ago who was that type person and had all the information. There was a big tragic accident. Essentially, one of their patients, this was a psych place, one of their patients got out. He was released. He was deemed okay, was released. The next day, shot a sheriff, sheriff's deputy, and killed him. And so the media, of course, was coming down, and then the investigation of, well, why was he released from this facility? Well, this receptionist got a phone call from an old high school friend, and he started asking her about it. He was a writer for the newspaper and said, oh, don't worry, I just want to know what's going on. She spilled the whole beans, exactly what was going on with the whole case. Told him a lot of stuff that she shouldn't have said.
Oh.
And he, of course, he printed it. They got sued for
several
million
dollars.
But he
said he wasn't
going to. That's right. Oh, he promised, right? If the media the media says off the record, they really mean off the record? No, they don't.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Yeah. And they got sued?
They got sued, and they got sued for $7 million, and they lost. They had to settle.
Oh my, that's.
But you have to be very careful about those. And we teach them how to set up programs. We give them sheets for the receptionist. If the media calls you, this is what you say. If they show up at your door, this is what you do. Those types of things.
Now, if they don't say they're the media, you just have to be consistently great.
You have to be consistently great, and that comes with the training that we also provide to all of our clients of everything from, like I said, when they walk in the door, how are they greeted and treated? And that makes a world of difference.
And do you go over, like, record keeping and filing and some of the operational end?
Are more regulated. That's not our expertise. They've got way too many. There's a lot of HIPAA involvement as well. We don't get into that now.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting, though, because that's such a big industry right now.
It's huge. Well,
it's getting bigger, I imagine.
There are. There are a lot more homes going up, everywhere you go, and there's a lot of these large companies with hundreds of facilities nationwide, and they still call us on a regular basis for some help whenever they need it.
How about the smaller private homes? Do you work with them too?
We work with anybody. On a crisis situation, we work on a project by project. We also have some of our retainer clients that we work with that we just open they use their time however they need to. If it's crisis communication that's needed, or marketing, or a video, a welcoming video for the marketing video type thing, we can do all that for them.
Wow.
It's really important, in life, there's good luck and bad luck. And everyone experiences good luck and bad luck. And we need to understand when it's good luck and not just our own greatness. That's because good luck is good luck. And same with bad luck. And you need to be prepared for bad luck. And the difference between the successful people, the successful businesses, and the ones that end up being victims and being unsuccessful is how they handle the bad luck, because there's nothing you can do about it. So it sounds like you help them to be prepared to make sure that when it does strike, there's less damage control that will occur, correct?
Right. And we talk to a lot of people in the profession of long-term care, and everybody agrees it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So you have to be prepared. You know, it's funny, they do have risk management people on staff most of these larger places, and they make sure the fire sprinklers are working, the doors have locks on them, those sorts of things. But when we ask them, what if something happens and the media shows up out of your door, what do you do? They shrug their shoulders. They don't know. A lot of times they are prepared, but there are many times that they're not.
Well, and the thing is, they're not in the business of dealing with crisis, right?
Right.
And so that we see that too. So it's going to be an emergency. It's going to be a crisis for your customer, my customer, but it can't be a crisis or an emergency for you.
Right.
I mean, you recognize it's their crisis or emergency, but you can deal with it in a very professional manner. So you've got the experience to do that.
Right. We've done it. We've been doing this for the long-term care facilities for close to 10 years. So we've got it. And then plus our media background, we know the media approaches and tactics that they'll use, some very sneaky stuff sometimes. But as far as preventative, you have to be prepared, even from your side. If there's water damage, they have to be prepared for something to happen. They know who to call. They know who to bring in, and then the insurance companies work with insurance companies. We've been hired by insurance companies to speak to their customers about being prepared for crisis, because if they get sued, guess what? That hits their insurance.
Right.
Now, a real big media event happened about 3 weeks ago, Hurricane Sandy. And there was a lot of media attention to this one hospital that had to walk down, 18, 20 flights of stairs with these little newborns and evacuate that facility and bring them to a different hospital. Well, they knew the hurricane was coming. Is that something that you would cover, you guys weren't really quite prepared? Because if you have to start giving oxygen manually to little newborn infants going down 18 flights of stairs, that sounds like the ultimate in risk and crisis.
If that's the one I'm thinking about, where they knew the storm was coming, they decided not to take action, and, of course, they lost power and all that stuff.
Well, they knew the placement in the basement. The more water got in when they thought, but you got to figure when it comes to human lives, perhaps – ultra conservative might have been the name of the game.
Yeah.
And you're shaking your head, so you heard about that, right?
Yeah, I did.
That potentially could have been tragic. Luckily, no one died, though.
And they should have been more prepared.
That's what I was thinking, right?
Well, in some cases, they sent babies to the wrong hospital, right?
Oh, they did?
I think they did. They sent people to the wrong hospital. So they had a backup plan, but they didn't execute on it.
Oh, so
but,
yeah.
But
that was
still very fortunate that how it turned out.
But what struck me is like, God, walking down 18 flights of stairs with a nurse holding a little baby with a doctor manually giving oxygen. Are you kidding me? During a hurricane?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. There's a lot of controversy. Talking about media, the media was all over them.
Right.
But and so from their perspective, from the hospital's perspective then, how do they, you know, do they try to twist it? Do they just accept the responsibility?
They tried to twist it.
Yeah, and they probably, I didn't follow up. I don't know how it ended up. But I've seen it happen to other places where they try to cover up or they try to make excuses for it. And that's never the right way to do it.
No.
We believe in transparency to a certain level as long as you're within legal boundaries.
Oh.
But transparency is very important because you have to regain, a lot of times you have to regain the trust and then retain that trust. The only way to do that is through transparency.
Well, I think one of the best examples is Tylenol. Mm-hmm. Whenever they had the Tylenol killings.
Yep.
I guess is that the textbook way of handling?
We actually use that as a demonstration in our presentation.
Oh, really?
We talk about the Tylenol scare.
Well, you didn't even tell me that ahead of time. Wow. Hey.
Yeah, that's
you didn't have a headache.
That is a classic.
Yeah,
it's well known as the classic proper way to handle from a PR perspective how to handle a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Where they came out, they were transparent about it. That was no fault of their own. They lost a huge chunk of their business of that part of the industry, but right now, every time you open a child safe cap or any time you have to twist something down or pop it up a different way, think Tylenol. They invented that because as a result of that issue.
Yeah, I remember that. That was really strange. I still buy Tylenol,
And they've regained the strength the majority of the market. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It took them about, I want to say, 5 to 10 years to regain that part of the market. But they're the leaders again.
But
because
they were
transparent and they had a great response to that whole situation.
And it was in their strategic. What if this ever happened? What do we do? And they knew. That is very interesting. By the way, as a side note, with Hurricane Sandy in the hospital, there is good news because water damage for Mike, and they need to be more prepared. So we got both of you covered. Let's take a quick break, and we'll finish up our final segment. And you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. This is Breaking Murphy's Law, starring Mike Hoffman. I said that right, didn't I?
Yes, you said it right.
And of course, we have your colleague, Ann Husky, in studio, and John Hernandez from Perfect Media. We'll be right back.
Oh.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is Breaking Murphy's Law every first Monday and Tuesday, 2 to 3, starring Mike Hoffman, service master by Disaster Professionals, his colleague in studio, and Husky. And
hello.
You look nice, and you said you had a great weekend.
Yes, I did.
At a wedding.
Yes, my friend's daughter got married.
Wow, how old was she?
She's 26.
Okay, I guess that's a good age, right?
Yeah. So which friend?
Ken and Dory Miles.
And what's their daughter's
Brittany.
Name?
Brittany.
So you should say congratulations.
Congratulations, Brittany, and hope you're having fun in Jamaica.
Oh, oh no. Nice. Jamaica.
No fair. She's how old, 26?
26.
That is no fair.
And she's been to Jamaica? I've never been to Jamaica. I'm a lot older than her.
You've been everywhere else, though.
Yeah, I've never been to Jamaica. Well, not everywhere else, but that's
I've never been
for.
To Jamaica, and I've successfully completed my marriage.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, that's okay. All I have to
I've
say.
Had two of them.
Okay, there we go. And, of course, John Hernandez, CEO of Perfect Media in studio, and we want to talk something about that said was so key to your success. A program by APS. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's the AIM program, and you put me on the spot to tell you what that stands for. It's AAAME, and it's from it's put on through APS. It's completely free, which is amazing. But I can honestly say that without them, we would not be in business right now. It's a 2-year mentoring program, basically teaching you how to do business. And whether you're like me, you know, I had no business background. I was a TV guy for 15 years. I didn't know anything about business. We had people in our class that had been in business for 25, 30 years, the people that had business degrees. But it helps you individually achieve what you want to do over a 2-year period. And most of that is learning how to approach your business in a different way, or learn how to do business. Before I started, I couldn't even read a P&L statement or tell you what a balance sheet was supposed to do for you. This was tremendous, absolutely great program.
Yeah, I'm reading it. I Googled it, and it says AIM accepts 12 businesses into each class. Like you said, 2-year program begins with a boot camp, weekly group sessions that include classes on strategic planning, finance, management, operations, and marketing. That sounds really phenomenal.
It's great. And you know, when you first get into the class and there's the weekly boot camp that goes for the first 13 or 14 weeks, one of the first things you realize is there's all the people that are in there, all the businesses are different businesses. Mm-hmm. They don't have like two janitorial companies, and you know, it's one company from every industry. And one of the first things you realize is how much you have in common with each other.
Yeah.
Everybody has the same problems. Everybody's got payroll issues. Everybody's got HR issues. Everybody's got location issues. You know, you have so much in common, yet your industries are so different.
Hmm. Wow. So was it a fast 2 years?
It really was. It really was. And the amount that we learned, when we graduated from that program, we were so much better. And our company had grown 300% over that 2-year period just by being in that program.
That is incredible.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Boy.
So what do you have to apply to APS?
There's an application process. They just started the new class, I believe, in September. If Rena is listening, she's the director, and she's awesome. She's the one
we
that
should
you...
get her on there, then.
She's fantastic. And great advocate for businesses, especially small businesses, since that is really the biggest industry in Arizona is small business. APS has really been helpful with that through this AIM program. But when you graduate from after that, you're a completely different person. You're in a different mindset. Your business is able to grow. All the processes I talked about earlier are all direct result of AIM.
What was her name?
Rena Hubler.
Rena.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm going to call her. Let's get her on the line right now. Line one. Rena? Well, no. So that's very cool. I have heard of that before, and I just hear just fantastic remarks from people that have graduated from the AIMS program. Mm-hmm. That is fabulous.
I've never heard of it. Boy.
No?
No. Have you heard of it, Ann?
No, but we'll have to sign you up.
Yeah. All right. Is that a comment? Is that a critique?
Leave the comment cards on the table after the meal.
Boy. Well, we're doing your review tomorrow, Ann.
Maybe I will be paying her salary. All right. Well, that's good. I there's no doubt about it. You hit it right on the head, John, in that so many people go into business, but they might be good at the thing they're going into business about, but they don't know business. There's a big difference.
One of the big things that they AIM has a lot of phrases and a lot of philosophies. The biggest one is you must know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you know what you don't know, then you can figure out what you don't know and how to help it. For example, a lot of people, like you said, are great at their business, but they really don't know how to market their business. And if they talk to a marketing professional, they can figure out a lot of things that they didn't think about. So bringing a fresh perspective, making an investment will have long-term ROI. And we were talking about long-term earlier. Mm-hmm. That's exactly one of the things that should be considered.
You know, I always said I do neuro-linguistic programming. I don't know if you've heard of it. Tony Robbins is the most well-known. And I've always said something like this. It's called the three levels of thinking, and it's really what you're talking about. I know what I know, and that means I know my name is Dave, and most people play in that field, what they know. Now, what they know may not be effective, but it's familiar, and it's what you could call bad habits and sometimes good habits. I know what I don't know. That's the second level. So you know you have an engine in a car. You may not know how to fix it, but you know where to go. Mm-hmm. Most people don't play in that one, and very few play in this one, and I think you do. I know that I don't know what I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know that I don't know what I don't know. That means you keep seeking for things that you really don't even know exist, but you have some type of intuition that something exists way beyond your comprehension.
Right.
You step out of your comfort level.
Yeah, exactly. And if you do that, there's some remarkable things, and I think marketing might be one of them, some of the great things in the mindset, how you combine marketing with the mindset.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a boss that used to say all the time, be curious about what you don't know.
Yeah.
That sounds like the same kind of
thing.
Yeah,
same concept.
So, I mean, how do you go and find out what you don't know? That you don't know.
It's your monologue. Go hang around with other people that are always looking up, always curious, and seeking some innovative, creative ways of doing things. And it's hanging around the right people is one way. The other way is listening to Breakthrough Thinking.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. You think so?
Yes. But right, John?
Absolutely.
Who you hang around with can really inspire you or just pull your way down to the curb.
Because what you don't know is different for every person. And as you understand the ability and get to the comfort level of stepping off that out of that zone that you're used to being in, you've got great potential for growth. You can't grow your company unless you're willing to take some risks, and part of those risks is understanding what you don't know.
I always said the growth of your company is really directly proportionate to the growth of you or the one influencing your company.
Absolutely. And your employees understand that. They'll see that level of leadership, and they'll know that they're with a solid group.
That is so important, and that's why I bet your company's just amazing because since it's a marketing type company based on creativity, innovation, excitement, and passion. There's only one way to go, and it's up. And you built into the culture this type of thinking styles, and you can't go wrong with that.
And you know, one of the things that we also take into consideration whenever we work with a new client is we tell them there's two levels of marketing. There's external that you do to get more clients, and then there's internal. Employee retention is a money saver.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
You'll save a lot more money if you don't have to train new employees every 2-3 months.
That is huge. And not just that, regardless of the turnover, the productivity levels.
Absolutely.
How do you handle that, by the way?
Depends on the client. Depends on the type of business they're in. It really just depends. If they're a large company that has hundreds of employees, internal newsletters work great. Email blasts, those types of things. Relationship building with the with their employees as much as you do with your clients or customers.
Hmm. Yeah, that's critical. And how do you do that, Michael? Mike.
What?
Why did I say Mike?
Okay.
Michael.
Yes, Mom. Okay. Yes, dear.
Oh, great.
What
Mom, dear. I just said Dad or something. Well, that wouldn't have worked either. That means I'm older. Okay.
Lest you didn't say Michael Joseph. Now, that would have been trouble.
Is that your middle name?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I shouldn't have let that slip
out. Yeah, I'm writing it down right now.
Anne's writing it down, too. She's got more. Yeah. More arts.
So,
well, you know, what I'm curious about is, like, do you work with people on or companies on their company culture or their values? Do you find that they need to determine that?
When we do their SWOT analysis at the beginning of the relationship, that's some of the things that we'll look into. Mm-hmm. If they've got a high turnover rate, they don't know why. A lot of times they're not cognizant of their own situations. And sometimes that third party coming in, taking a look at their situation will help them. Absolutely.
Hmm.
And it's really important that you mentioned SWOT analysis for those listeners that don't quite know what SWOT means.
Uh-huh.
It's not something from the police force, but strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats.
Mm-hmm.
Very important as part of the strategic planning process to do that analysis.
And again, SWOT is external and internal.
Yeah.
And internal, if your culture is a happy culture, a good culture, people want to stay and work, your customers or clients will instantaneously realize that this is a good company to work with.
Really is. And so many people, Mike, and Anne and John, mm-hmm. they just don't do strategic planning, or they think they know they're doing it, but they're not doing it in an effective way.
Or they do it once and forget about it.
Yeah.
And you have to do that every year.
And it's not an exercise. It's not a theoretical exercise. It should be your complete guide to success with implementation, execution. Mike, you're really big on execution.
Right.
It's
yes,
huge.
I mean, you got your plans. Well, it's important to have a good strategic plan. And they teach that in the business schools, but it's also important to have the execution. It's probably more important. And it takes people to get to do the execution. And it means people changing their behaviors, right?
Part of the strategic plan that you do every year is preparedness for potential disasters or crisis.
Absolutely.
So that's very important. And it kind of I brought us all the way back to what we were talking about in the first place.
That's right. That's why you were on ESPN.
That's right.
Wow, we should have you be the host of Breaking Murphy's Law.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I know
views,
who my who's gonna,
I'm already busy enough. The views expressed in this program are not necessarily of the host, but it is of Mike Hoffman. Okay, so that, what do we have? About 2 minutes left, Mr. Tom? And he's looking, he's shaking his head.
Oh, boy.
Wow, can you believe this hour flew by?
It's great.
We didn't even get to talk about Las Vegas. But
next show.
But there is a hotel that smells like vanilla. I don't know, which one was it?
Aria.
Aria, that's a new one. Wow, Aria smells like vanilla. I love vanilla, Mike.
I'm going to be there this weekend. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, bring your ice cream and vanilla. Okay.
Well, usually where I go, it smells like cigarette smoke.
Yeah, but vanilla? I like vanilla better. John, how do they get in touch with you?
Our website is www.perfectmedia.com, and that's P-R-F-E-C-T, P-R for public relations, obviously, perfectmedia.com. Our phone number is 480-706-6880. You can even go right to my extension, 120. You'll hear the extension list when you call in. We're just getting going on our social media. It's amazing. As people who set up marketing programs for other people, we don't market ourselves too much. So we just have a new hire who started with us, and he's going to help us achieve those goals for ourselves.
Excellent. Mm.
But isn't that funny how we don't take care of ourselves? We're so used to taking care of everybody else.
That happens, and but that social media is powerful. Mike, how do they get in touch with you?
Oh, you can call me at 602-431-2222.
I love that number, 2222. Before we say goodbye, great guest tomorrow.
Yes.
Who do you have?
We have Kelly McGonigal. She's the author of The Willpower Instinct, and she's a PhD lecturer at Stanford University.
Oh, wow, and that's from 2 to 3?
Yep, from 2 to 3.
We'll say, yay, Stanford over UCLA. I like UCLA, but if she's a guest, I'll say, yay, Stanford. So anyway, John Hernandez, thank you so
thank
much
you.
For coming in.
Thank
Ann
you.
Husky, thank you.
Thank
Mike
you.
Hoffman, I'll see you tomorrow. Will I see Ann tomorrow? She said, no. Okay. Then I'll say, you look surprised.
Yeah, but you'll see me tomorrow. Boy. And I'll see you tomorrow, Dave.
That's right. And stay tuned for Practical Business Solutions, starring Jim Hyten, Reitner, Hyten, Lewis. Great guest on. We'll be right back at 3.
You have found Arizona Station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Reitenauer, Hyten, and Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reitenauer, Hyten, and Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is Service Master by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing Service Master Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know Service Master Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's Service Master Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for Service Master Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.